with me to the book of Joshua as we continue our study through the book of Joshua. And this morning we're coming to chapter 5. Chapter 5. The nation of Israel, as we saw last Sunday, crossed over the Jordan River. They crossed over during the time of flooding. God supernaturally caused the waters to stand, and the nation of Israel walked across on dry land. We come to chapter 5, verse 1, and we're going to be going through chapter 5 this morning, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of the Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which had gone out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom they raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And that came to pass, when they had done the circumcising, all the people that they abode in the places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from all of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, on leavened cakes, parched corn in the same selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this morning. Help us to see the principles that we need to apply to our lives that are contained within this account of what happened a few thousand years ago on the plains of the Jordan River by Jericho. Lord, help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to remind you about who Joshua is. The name Joshua, it's very interesting. Yeshua. God with us, or God saves, is what his name means. You probably have heard someone else by the name of Yeshua. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his name is in Hebrew. Yeshua. The English name is Jesus. Joshua had the same name that our Lord did. But Joshua, if you remember, had never been the leader that was in charge. He'd always been Moses. Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man, his servant. He did Moses' bidding. He was always there for Moses. And he learned as he looked at Moses and saw what Moses walked with God, he saw the importance of walking with the Lord. And we know that Joshua, when he was picked to be the man of the tribe of Ephraim, to go as one of the 12 slaves at Beth Karnia, to go in and spy out the land, he and Caleb were the only two that came back and gave a good report and said, the land flows with milk and honey. It's just like God said. Oh, there's giants in the land, but we serve a God who's greater than any man. And stronger than any man. And we have nothing to fear. That was Joshua. You remember that Joshua, when the Amalekites attacked Israel, Joshua had been made the general of the army by Moses. We don't know for sure, but Joshua may have learned some tactics in warfare in Egypt, in serving in the army in Egypt. There are some historians that believe that could possibly have been the case. It's not in the scriptures, so we can't say for certain. But that was his job. But the thing that he observed as he was fighting, if you remember when we went through that account, as we went through, those of you who are here going through the book of Exodus with us on Wednesday night, you remember that as Moses stood on the hill overlooking the battle, he had the rod of God in his hand. And as he held up his hands with the rod, the Israelites would win. But as you're standing and the battle's going on for a long period of time, his hands grew weary and they begin to come down. And when his hands would come down, the Amalekites would win. And you remember how that Aaron and Hur went up and they grabbed his hands and they held his hands up? Joshua learned a lesson that day that it wasn't the tactics that he employed, nor was it his great ability as a military leader that enabled Israel to gain victory over the Amalekites. As a matter of fact, the Amalekites had been more powerful than them, better prepared than them, had better armaments than them, but it was God that had given them the victory. And Joshua had learned that lesson. Now Joshua is sitting, having crossed over the Jordan River. He's on the west bank of the Jordan, supernaturally crossing the Jordan River. He's probably thinking, well, I better figure out how I'm going to attack Jericho. He'd sent two spies in, and we studied that already, how that when they'd gotten in there, they met Rahab, who hid them, and asked for in return that they preserve her and her family's lives, because she knew that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Israelites, would destroy their city. And she had faith that God could deliver her. His spies came back, and I'm sure they came back and said it's a fortified city. As a matter of fact, the history of Jericho is that it had never been overrun. Its walls were extremely thick, its walls were tall, its walls were impregnable. It stood as the first place when you came from the east side of the Jordan into the land of Israel at the midpoint, and you had to defeat Jericho to get further into the land. And they made sure that you couldn't defeat Jericho. Yet the spies had come back and they had heard as a report from Rahab what? That the people were literally trembling, and they were like water. They were fearful of the Israelites and the God of the Israelites, because they heard what he had done to Og and Sihon, two kings on the east side of the Jordan River, how that these two kings had been defeated. And they were very fearful. Now, Joshua gets a second report. It's not only Jericho, it's all the inhabitants of the land that are fearful. From the Mediterranean Sea, where you have those that are the Canaanites, to the people that are right by the Jericho River up in the mountains, which would be the Amorite peoples. And they're fearful. And so Joshua is sitting here and he's probably going, well, what am I going to do? What's the strategy? And God comes and he says, this is the strategy, Joshua. I want you to incapacitate your whole army. How would you like to be told that as a leader of the troops? We know what it was to be circumcised and what the impact it had when a mature man is circumcised. You are incapacitated not for an hour, not for a day, for a number of days. There's great pain as an adult when you're circumcised. How do we know that that's true? Well, there's a recording in Scripture. You remember when Jacob brought his families back into the land, coming back from Haran, where he'd been, the Padanaram, where he'd been with his uncle Laban, and he'd left, and he brought his wives and children, and they were coming back into the land that had been promised to him, and they came to a city that was named after the leader of the city, Shechem. And when they came to Shechem, the son of the king of Shechem looked upon Jacob's daughter Diana, and he lusted after her. And he ended up raping her. And her brothers found out what he had done to their sister, and they were angry. But then this young man had second thoughts, and he wanted to marry her. And so he went to his father and he said, I want you to go to Jacob and you talk to Jacob and you make the arrangements so I can marry this girl. So he and his dad go to Jacob and they are making arrangements to marry the girl, and then they're interrupted, or rather, before they make all those arrangements, they meet Levi and Simeon, two of her brothers. And these two boys tell his dad and him, this is what you've got to do. The mark that is upon us, that is a mark that we have a covenant relationship with our God, is that we have to be circumcised. So all the men of the city of Shechem have to be circumcised if you are going to be able to marry into our family. They agree to do that. They go off and they circumcise all the men. And it says that while they are in great pain, Levi and Simeon come and kill them all. And God is angry, and so is Jacob. Because of that, Levi and Simeon lost even though they were ahead of Judah to receive the birthright, they didn't get it. Judah received it. So it's from the tribe of Judah that Jesus came. Not from the tribe of Levi. Not from the tribe of Simeon. But the scripture tells us it was not a light thing to have a man circumcised. So now you've got Joshua facing this impregnable city that's got giant walls. And he's on the west bank of the Jordan, so the city can look out and see him. And what does he do? The Lord tells him, circumcise all your men. Well, why? Why would they be circumcised? Well, the scriptures tell us why. It says here that, and at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. These men, it's not that they had already been circumcised once. No, you can only be circumcised once. These were the children of those that had been already circumcised. Their fathers and grandfathers had been circumcised. but they had not. And it says that Joshua made sharp knives. Now these knives, in the original language, it tells us what they're made out of. It's flint. Flint. Rock. The word is probably would be obsidian. We have a piece of obsidian that I got. It's a very hard rock, and it's comes out of a volcano. We have it at home, and we were sitting on the patio and had this obsidian rock there, and there's one edge of it where it's very sharp. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you ran your hand on it, and you cut your finger because of that obsidian rock. Why would God have them take flint? Now, this isn't, you know, a lot of times we're looking at things from a perspective of the world, and we get, the world tells us that millions of years and there wasn't any intelligence, and at the time, like here, they had all kinds of metal at this time. They had swords. They had, those of you who were here on Wednesday night, you know that they had precious metals. They were metallurgists. They made they're putting together the tabernacle. They used silver, gold, bronze, brass. They would make iron, had iron swords. Why make rock? And if you stop and think about it, Joshua's probably thinking, he's going to tell me to go sharpen my swords, get ready for battle. No, go get a bunch of little flint knives. To defeat the enemy with flint knives? No, to circumcise and incapacitate your men. Why flint? Well, they've done studies on rock. Do you realize that if you make rock that hasn't, rock won't absorb chemicals and it won't, bacteria normally doesn't live on rock. And so if you went out and you took these rock and made rock knives out of flint, your men wouldn't get infections. If you took steel, they could get an infection. There's a reason. But Joshua does it. And we see why he has to do it. Verse 4. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise.